Lady from Day is an original novel adapted for radio. Lady from Day is written and produced by April Sadowski.
Apparently, the forces of Rowan and mine were out on the watch, because as soon as we cleared the forest, we heard shouts of cheer and well-being from the men. Sig ran to me. I thought I would suffocate under the bear hug that he gave me. It was extremely unexpected, considering the grumpy mood he was in earlier. I just smiled and pulled him loose. Well, hello, Sig. Did you miss me?
Well, yes, of course. We had no idea where you were. No one was talking, not even that innkeeper you had mentioned that. Oh, I see that Ro is still here.
Excuse me? As long as you are in my kingdom, you will address me as Rowan. I don't give a rat's bottom if you put Prince in there, but at least use my full name. My title is deserving of at least that amount of respect.
Huh.
Siegfried left in a tantrum and I was left with Rowan. What on earth is his problem? I mean, I could stand it before, but right now, this is just the last straw.
Are you alright?
Me? Shouldn't you be asking Sig that? Or yourself, for that matter?
You know he likes you, and seeing me around you all the time just starts a jealous vein in him. It's not healthy to your friendship. You need to get over there and talk to him about it. Sooner or later, his venting could turn dangerous. He needs to unburden his feelings on you.
How is me talking to him supposed to help? I just did before he left, and he shrugged my words off.
Well, maybe you should try again. I'm not trying to delve into your business, but he is a colleague and a friend. It hurts to see something like that dissolve, considering that it is my fault that it happened in the first place. I am getting all the attention from you because of my status, and yes, the attention is appreciated, but it is also expected. He has to be willing to see who I really am, but he doesn't, and I think that is the main problem in his circumstance. I know I told you to leave him be, but I am afraid of the drastic things that could happen if he were left to himself.
This person, the prince, the future king, and the man I met only a day ago, was telling me what to do. And for the first time in a while, I realized I wasn't going to get on with my own logic. I needed someone to be there and help me. Sure, I had Sig in the past, but he was immature, poorly educated, and as I've seen, he was also ruled by his intense, ill-controlled emotions. I asked myself, why is Rowan so completely opposite of Sig? He is mature, knowledgeable, and a man built by facts. He was unmovable where Sig was quicksand. Something is happening to me, but I just don't know what. I decided to be led by the prince's advice and go confront my dear friend Siegfried. I wandered around trying to find him. I eventually did see him near a rivulet from the Hiver. He was lying on his stomach and swirling the stream's water in circles with his finger. I sat down next to him and put my arm on his shoulder. He wriggled free and glared at me, his eyes glistening from newly formed tears.
Why?
Why what? You don't like him, do you? Siegfried gave me a horrid look. A vagrant tear trickled down his muscular face. He sat up and shot out.
Like him? What makes you say that, Lee? I mean, he will be king one day. I have to like him. He won't be my king, but I can tell you one thing for sure. I still have to be his damn servant.
Are you trying to get exiled? You know he may have no choice, especially if you endanger him in any way.
You know what? I don't care. Let me be exiled. Then maybe I wouldn't think of you being with him.
Sig.
Leah, will you marry me? Please, Leah, just listen to me for one second. All I'm asking is for you to think about it. I mean, I've liked you for a long time. I'm sure that you've held some feelings for me. Maybe not in the same way that I'm feeling for you. But in fact, I haven't felt this way before. Seeing you with another man, with Rowan, it just bugs me. The only way to fix it is for me to leave, or for you to marry me. At least I think. I just want you all to myself. Even if I leave, you'll be in my mind constantly. And I won't ever be the same because I'll be wondering if you'll be with him, or even worse, someone stranger.
Sig, my eyes were tearing from his words, and I was still in shock. It was as if my heart was being pressed upon from all sides. I didn't know if it could survive, because I didn't want to hurt Sig. However, I knew I couldn't be unfair to him. I had to be true to myself and give him a straightforward and honest answer. I would if this were any time but now. You couldn't have expected me to say yes. I can't help my emotions. You have been the greatest friend and I love you for that. But...
But? There's always a blasted but. Out with it! You can't stand me because I don't approve the prince, is that it?
Siegfried, I can't marry you. I don't love you, at least not in the way you want me to. I know in any other place but Alisonia, love wouldn't matter. But we are from a place that believes in it. I don't love you like you want me to, and I don't think ever in the way you want me to. I love you as a friend, as a brother. Not as a man and I a woman, but as we were when we were children. I could never imagine you as a suitor. I can't help but be myself, and I can't be untrue to my own feelings or to you. I'm sorry, Sig. It's the truth, and that's something you know I could never hide from you. Sig just stared me down. I knew he was hurt, bleeding inside emotionally. I didn't want to say anything else, so I just watched him. I watched a tear slowly work its way down his face. He turned his face downward towards the water, and didn't move until the teardrop fell into the rivulet. And then he got up, looked at me with yearning eyes, said nothing, and walked towards the town, wiping his eyes as he went. I crumpled as my strength failed me. My eyes could no longer hold the tears that were straining to be dispatched onto my face. I gave in and started to uncontrollably cry. The lump of guilt has built up in my chest, and I started to shudder as I cried, and as I did, my face was reinforced with even more droplets of tears. I suppose Rowan had seen Sig and wondered what happened to me, because I heard him calling my name. I looked behind myself and saw him running towards me, his face creased with lines of worry.
Leah? Are you all right? Oh, surely not, you poor thing. What has that rascal said this time to hurt you so?
He asked for my hand.
He wanted to hold your hand? I don't see why that would make you cry so. I thought you didn't get that emotional.
No, not hold it. He wanted to marry me. He wanted my hand in marriage. He said that he couldn't stand us whenever you were around me, and he was jealous. He wanted me for himself, and he thought marriage could solve it.
And what did you say?
Of course I couldn't marry him. I can't marry him. It would be like marrying a brother. But that isn't horrible in itself. I mean, marrying a brother would be... But I mean, not marrying isn't horrible. I told him that I couldn't marry him because I didn't love him like a man. I told him he was a friend, and I couldn't imagine him any other way. It crushed him. I am to blame for whatever he does next. Please, don't be harsh on him if he is a bit cross with you. He does have a reason to be. I decided to go for a walk around the outskirts of Mois Arwin as Rowan returned to his men. I was careful to not make too much noise in case Gorlags were near. I took a path from the rivulet I was near, a bit north. The air was quite cool near the river, and the chirping of birds and sounds of creatures lightened my mood even more. My body was a little achy, so I decided to take a break and hit some brush. I was rudely interrupted by a sack being placed over my head. I tried to scream, but my head was hit, and I reeled into darkness.
Mommy, can I keep her?
I heard a deep-throated girl beg. My head was splitting. It seems I was knocked unconscious.
Perhaps you can keep her as a skellag, my poppet. You have been such a good little girl, Krata.
Those words came from a female, a manly-sounding female, almost as if it had been smoking a very large amount of druffet grass. Druffet grass came from Fenarion, and was known to change the voice of the smoker if used too frequently. Almost always it made the voice deeper, though sometimes it had no effect. I tried opening my eyes. They still worked, though I wondered if I was dreaming. I was laying in what looked to be a pig pen, though there were no pigs. My arms, which were aching in no wonder, were tied to the back of the pen. This pen was all enclosed. There were no openings, and the wood panels were closely joined, save for the small bit where I was tied to, almost as if it were a feeding trough. To my right was the little girl, but this was no ordinary girl. Realization of the position I was in came flooding into my head, and I almost screamed in reluctance of the truth. I was a captive. I'd been kidnapped by Gorlags and I was sitting in the courtyard at their keep. The Gorlag girl and her mother, I assume it was her mother, started to talk to each other, in whispers, but it sounded like grunts. I took the time to study my surroundings, starting with the Gorlag pair. The girl almost looked human. I suppose the green hair, greenish-brown skin, putrid odor, and broad muscular body threw me off to believe she was a Gorlag. I almost laughed audibly while thinking about it. Luckily, I caught myself. I wouldn't want the Gorlags thinking I was laughing at them. The girl was wearing a faded brown shift. Some parts of it were caked with mud. "Don't these Gorlags ever take a bath?" I asked myself. The large female walked off and the girl, Krata, came bounding towards me with what looked like a smile spread across her face.
"Mommy said I could give you a bath."
The girl jumped up and down, apparently for joy at the thought of it. Then she ran away. Well, I guess they do bathe. Oh good, I really could use a bath, I thought to myself. Inside, I was struck with great fear as I saw the little child carrying something. It was an enormous tub. Apparently these Gorlags were very strong, even as children. It would take 3 men to carry something like what she had over her head. My stomach lurched as I saw things drop from the tub. They were moving, and I could get whiffs every now and then. It smelled rank and horrid, much like when we were out in the forest and stood behind the evergreens to clear our noses. The Gorlag child proceeded to enter the castle while the Gorlag mother untied me, lifted me out of the pin with one arm, set me down and pushed me forward. I was to follow that child where she went. The keep itself was a mix of wood and stone. The bottom half was stone, most likely to keep out intruders and to make sure kitchen fires didn't catch on the walls. The upper half was wooden. When we entered the keep, I noticed a change in room height from normal castles. The ceilings weren't too high, but just enough to accommodate the height of the largest Gorlag. The stones around me were large and thick. It probably wouldn't have been a problem for the Gorlags to carry them, considering their strength. There were a few windows in the keep. Apparently just candlelight is preferred, though I've seen the Gorlags outside during the day before. It was probably better from a strategic standpoint to have fewer windows as well. The halls were winding as we followed Krata through the keep. We wrapped ourselves up a spiral staircase and ended up at a small doorway. Krata's mother opened the door, and the Gorlag girl entered, tub still in arms. During the whole journey inside the keep, I was fortunate enough to notice that the wriggling things dropping out of the tub were maggots and worms. This only increased my fear of what this girl was going to do to me. Was it some kind of weird barbaric torture, to be bathed in filth? The girl set the tub down in one corner of the room, and her mother left, telling her to be a good girl and treat me well. Once the mother left, the girl looked at me and smiled widely.
"Yes, you'll be a good puppy."
I tried struggling as she lifted me up, but she was just too strong. The Gorlag girl dropped me into the slime bath. It was the most putrid thing to look at, and now it was even worse because I was stuck in the middle of the bath and I could feel every bit of it. The bath was enough to explain why Gorlags always smelled so bad.
"You silly, you need cleaning. I'll clean you up pretty."
I rolled my eyes, turning my head, of course, so she couldn't see.
"You need a good scrubbing."
"Yes, but with soap and foam and scents, not filth and grime and odor," I thought to myself. Krata took a fistful of mud slime and lopped it in my face. I gagged and was so close to almost losing my breakfast.
"That's better."
Soon after my face had the encounter with the contents of the tub and I was thrown out of it, Krata's mother came in.
"Come, Krata, you must engage in your studies. I will see to the future of this woman." From now on, you are called Lee Hare since you try to be independent. It means you only half independent. We make you see that though you may think you are a leader, we here rule and command. I have decided to put you in the kitchens. With the growth of our community, the kitchen skellags will have a lot to do. We only have 3 womans there, and they must feed us all. You must learn your rank. I am always called Mistress.
Mistress took me out of the room and led me down into the hot labyrinth she called a kitchen. The whole room was strewn with pots and pans, tables muddled against each other, masses of vegetables and hides of beef. There were 3 women in there, as the Gulag said, and one of the women had the traits of the chief cook. Heavy set from many taste-testing opportunities, her black hair streaked with grey was pinned up in a bun on top of her head, save for a few strands. She was pointing at another woman at the time we entered, and was barking orders.
Amtar, you get those beans and carrots and start taking off the tops. Tyler, you take those pans and make sure they are clean inside and out. I won't be one to serve from dirty pans. See, even our hardest working human knows her place around here. Mistress. Cork, please see that Lee Hare has enough to do so she doesn't have time to try to get into trouble. Keep it up. Dinner has to be ready for Gink Sligeth. As you wish, Mistress. Let's get one thing straight, Lee Hare. I rule the roost here. I don't take any slime from anyone but the Mistress. I don't tolerate my staff trying to escape here because these Gorlak folk trust me. If you try to escape, I'll deal with you personally. Tyler, for example, has tried twice. You can see what I did with her.
I glanced more closely at the woman the cook was referring. The blonde-haired tailor definitely had the look of someone that had gone through a couple births and sacrifices. She had wrinkles and a stubborn look on her face. I couldn't tell her age, though. She had a youthful face. She certainly looked like she had been well off in a past life, though she was quite skinny now. But I couldn't tell any more than that because her face was bruised. Obviously, the cook had gotten a few punches in. Taylor lowered her head and turned away when the cook referred to her. However, I noticed her jaw clench in defiance. She had a stubbornness that she was trying to keep out of plain sight. The cook didn't notice it as she turned to Emta. Emta looked younger than Taylor. She had tawny hair, a little matted in places, but I'm sure the way that we were bathed it was to be expected. She had a slender frame, but what was skin and bones at first glance looked to be more muscle.
This girl used to try, but she doesn't anymore. She learned her place at my side. You will learn. The more you obey, the less work you will do. Mistress is always finding new helpers for me. You will start by attending to Taylor. Even though she hasn't been the most obedient, she still has more knowledge of this place. She can teach you what you need to know to survive.
The seemingly quiet Taylor actually had quite a lot to say. Once Cork set me loose, I walked to where Taylor was cleaning pots. She whispered to me as soon as I arrived.
Take that pan over there and make sure the grease on the bottom is gone. Then clean it out with sponge rags. Cork is a stubborn old woman. She has lost her faith in our ability to succeed in leaving this prison. I've tried for 5 years, and finally she let her vexations loose on me. I, however, will never give up. I know the one thing that can ruin these infidels. But I can't reveal that to you until I know I can trust you. Why else would they worry so much about my release into society again? I saw the same defiance in your eyes that I know I have in my own. I know you are a fighter, and this is not a place for you. We must try together to get out. I may not be able to leave by myself, but perhaps you can help me. Together, we can conquer these Gorlok creatures.
Where do you hail from?
I was born on the outskirts of Midonia and Thanarion. My mother loved to ride her horse, and it turns out, the day I was destined to be born, she decided to release herself from the confines of the capital city. I know it's dangerous for a child-bearing woman to be riding, but it was out in a meadow that I was born. My father wasn't happy in the slightest. He demanded to know where his wife was, and when he finally got a stable boy to tell him the truth, he went out personally to look for her. He met me amongst the grass. I grew up in the city of Midonia, which was a very busy city, considering it was the capital of the province.
I finished cleaning my pan and found another. There was so much to do. These Gorlaks must feast every day. I was getting crusted cheese from a skillet when I replied. So, how did you find yourself here?
I can't risk telling you. Imtar or Cork might overhear. I wish I could trust Imtar, but she's always around Cork. And considering the past, I don't think it's a good idea.
I understand. We can find a quiet place to talk later.
Do you really think so? We usually are so busy fixing meals and cleaning that we rarely have time to even sleep. It's almost an endless cycle. The Gorlogs are up at night and day.
Well then, I guess we'll talk when everyone sleeps, no matter the time. Taylor nodded and returned quietly to her duties. Once I had finished the pots, pans, and some plates, Cork had me join Emta. After Emta got the tops cut off the vegetables, I started peeling and cutting them.
You know, she's only trouble. I'd stay away from her if I were you.
As I've heard from Cork, you were trouble too. Taylor might just need a steer in the right direction, and that can also mean forward, I thought to myself. I started slicing the carrot I had just peeled into even segments. Emta nodded and continued work. Much later, after everything was cleaned, all the meals were made and all that was cleaned up, we made our way to the servant quarters. I was exhausted and walked in an almost drunken state through all the halls. It wasn't much to speak of. Gorlaks didn't treat their servants very well. I would consider myself a slave more than anything else. I wasn't paid and I was definitely being held against my will. I noticed that we were going downwards and then my nose wrinkled as the air grew musty. Gorlaks didn't reserve anyone in the servant or Skalag quarters the luxury of a bed, except for the heads, that being the cook, stableman, and the keeper. She manages all the staff and the doings of the keep, of course. The room I entered was completely dark, save for one small twitching candle. Taylor moved slowly towards me and helped me sit down. She squatted by my side and started to whisper.
I suppose you've heard about a certain escapee.
I widened my eyes in surprise. She must have been talking about that woman the Gorlaks were trying to catch when my party was sleeping and I had to use wordless speech with the help of Sig.
Well, that would have been me. I figured out something very important from the Gorlaks. All will be revealed at a later time, but you must keep an eye on everyone. Try your best to convert Imta. She is a very stubborn woman, and I'm surprised she gave in to Cork as soon as she did. It may take time, but seeing as we can't do anything else, we have plenty of it. Well, good night, Lihair. Do you mind picking an easier name to remember? The Gorlogs call me Sila, but that was too hard to remember in their dialect, so I have been called Taylor by the women here.
You can call me Lee. Right now, I could use a lot of sleep. Leah Hare was so close to my name that I didn't mind, and it really meant almost the same thing. But of course, the Gorlaks didn't know that. I closed my eyes and drifted off into sleep.
Rowan was pacing in the common area at the inn. Leah hadn't arrived yet. It was a day, and he still hadn't seen her or heard her come in.
After he left here to collect his thoughts and such, he went back into the inn. He noticed Siegfried in a corner, a pint of something in his hand.
Let him rot there. Maybe I'll teach him a lesson. Yeah. Yeah. But he hates me, remember that. He can be comforted, but not by me. He has plenty of friends around that can do that. I'm not going to try to get in a fist fight with him.
Rowan was doing his best to control himself in his room, wondering what could have happened to this woman that had popped into his life. His mind jumbled back and forth from good to bad scenarios. He couldn't help thinking that since Moira Wynn was so close to the Gorlog Keep that... No. Whenever he reached that conclusion, he always made his mind to think something else.
But what if she was captured? There wouldn't be any way of getting her back. They keep things locked tight. Unless you were to be a kitchen servant.
Rowan thought to himself, recalling the conversation with the innkeeper that they had had earlier that day. He couldn't go alone looking for her. Leah, he knew from the past 2 days' experience, was not one to be trifled with. She was a stubborn woman, and wouldn't let herself be commanded unless she was there against her will.
I'm sick and tired of this! I will take it no more.
Rowan thumped down the stairs and plopped himself in front of Siegfried.
Come on, man. Leah's gone missing, and I need your help to find her.
I didn't come all this way to be put off by a royal such as yourself. Go home!
Siegfried took a sip from his drink, put the mug on the table, and his eyes started to tear. Rowan couldn't tell if it was from emotion or just drinking.
Siegfried, get a hold of yourself! I know you aren't thinking clearly now, but you have to help me.
You didn't kill her like I did. I loved her, you bastard.
Sig threw a punch at Rowan, who was prepared for it. Rowan just dodged and threw one back, knocking Sig unconscious. Siegfried just lay on the floor. Rowan sighed and stooped down and called for the innkeeper to help him. They both carried Sig up to his room at the inn, which was shared by 6 other men. The room's floor had 8 sleeping pallets and a couple of chairs. There was a bowl of water in a corner and several bedpans near the pallets. There were only 2 men in the room currently, heartily chatting amongst themselves on pallets when Rowan and the innkeeper entered, carrying Sig like a hammock. They put down Siegfried on a nearby pallet and left Rowan in the room. The men stopped talking and stared.
Yes? Siegfried is tired, that's all. It's been a long day. I doubt he'll even remember falling asleep. Just, keep an eye on him, okay? I'll come around in the morning to see how he's doing. Just don't let him out of the room, okay? I think I know who you two are. You are Aris and Reynold, right? Leah told me about how you two were critical in rescuing her and Sig from the box of Sandring. That was quite an honorable deed.
The 2 men, Aris and Reynold, bowed their heads in acknowledgement. Aris was the first to speak.
It was only duty, my lord. I know that Siegfried has hard feelings toward you. It's really not so much his fault. Leah is one of those magnetic persons, and her being female just makes it all the worse. They grew up together in Dubonnet, and, well, he's grown attached to her. I also know there is something wrong. We were halfway down the stairs keeping an eye on Sig. He is our friend, you know. And, well, we overheard you talking about Leah.
It's not right that she should be held anywhere against her will. And we want to help. She's our commanding officer and friend.
Yes, she should be glad of it, too. The only trouble is, and I fear this, is that she will be in the keep. You could follow me so far, but Siegfried and I must finish the task. Too many people would attract attention, but in a place like that, I worry that too few would be following. Siegfried and I will go alone into the keep, pretending to be servants. I think two male kitchen staff would be a bit odd, but we could pretend to be women, or something like that. It could work. It has to. I tried not to think about her being taken to the keep, but it seems only logical. Anywhere else and she would have been back by now. We all know that she can hold her own. Right. We'll do some more serious planning in the morning, and hopefully Sixhead will be alright. I mean awake.
As Rowan lay in bed, he recollected the day. It had all gone by so fast. Not what he was used to at all.
Is this what Leah and Siegfried did every day? How on earth could they keep their sanity in such a fast-moving environment?
Rowan closed his eyes and shortly fell off into a dreamless sleep. For other casts and credits, please visit www.ladyfromday.com. That's www.ladyfromday.com. Join us next time for the continuing story of Lady from Day.